Well, as Mr. Moss mentioned in my last two messages, I spoke to you about renewal by prayer. And we began by considering the fact that we need physical food to renew our physical bodies on a daily basis. And we drew the analogy of how we need to be renewed spiritually on a daily basis, using 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, which we won't turn there. It talks about us being renewed day by day. And we considered one of the ways that this is accomplished, this renewal, and that is by prayer to God. And we examined eight ways in these last two messages that we are renewed by prayer. And they were, by way of review, repentance, cleansing, healing, strengthening, hope, joy, faith, and peace. Repentance, cleansing, healing, strengthening, and hope, joy, faith, and peace. Today, in this last message of this series, we're going to consider another aspect that is renewed by prayer. And it is the most critically important, brethren. It is our relationship with God. That relationship must be at the center of our lives. You see, it ties in to all of the other aspects that we've already considered that are renewed by prayer. And it also is much more. We were created to have a deep relationship with our Creator. And we are incomplete and fundamentally lost without it. We're lost without it. And like any personal relationship, it cannot be neglected. So let's take a look today at four vital elements of our relationship with God that must be renewed on a continuing basis. The first one is thankfulness to God. Turn with me to Acts chapter 17. We've talked about thankfulness before, but we need to think about this, and we need to be renewed in our thankfulness to God because it ties into our relationship with Him. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, this is when the Apostle Paul was talking to the Athenians. And I'm cutting in here, but he says in verse 28, "For in Him, in God, we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. See, brethren, it is because of God. It is in Him that we live and move and have our very existence and our experience in this physical life. And we need to think about this on a continuing basis because we owe everything that we are. And everything that we have, and everything that we will have, to God. God is the source of our life, this physical life and all that that entails, but also our coming spiritual, eternal life. God is the source of it all. Because of Him, we are alive and exist. Do you think about this? Do you think about this frequently? Are you thankful for it, that we are alive? In Psalm 100, verse 3, if you'll turn there with me. In Psalm 100, verse 3, it says a psalm of thanksgiving. I'm not sure if David wrote this particular psalm. But in verse 3 of Psalm 100, it says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." It is God who made us. All that you have, brethren, and all that you have worked for is really from God. He gave you the ability to work and to create and to build. All that we have is from God. He has made us. And we are being thankful to Him on a continuing basis. It is not ourselves. In verse 4, it says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. God is good. God is good beyond what we can understand. And His mercy is everlasting. His mercy on you and on me. As we were thinking about that mercy in this Holy Day season that we've just finished, how merciful God is to us and to all humanity. How easy it would be for Him to say, I'm just so tired of this, and just wipe us all out. But God's mercy endures forever. And His truth that we have been so blessed to have and understand, brethren, endures to all generations. All people will eventually learn the truth and have their chance. It will endure to all generations. And how blessed are we to have that now? To have the understanding that we have, brethren. Are you thankful for it? Do you think about this? Are you thankful for it on a daily basis when you're on your knees before God? Do you ask God to help you to be thankful to Him? We're here in Psalms. In Psalm 63, there is a psalm that David did write. You know, David went through a tremendous trial, and there was great purpose in it. He had to learn some important lessons that he took with him as he became king of Israel later, and that he'll also use in the future. In Psalm 63, verse 3, David had to learn some lessons. But notice in verse 3, he writes, and this is Psalm 63, verse 3, because your loving kindness, God, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. That your loving kindness, God, is better than my life. Do you deeply understand, brethren, and think about God's loving kindness for you personally, and for me, and for all of us, and for all mankind? And do you praise God for it on a continuing basis? And I ask myself as well. We won't turn there, but in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, Paul writes to the Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. Why is it God's will for us to be thankful? Do you think about this? Because when we are grateful, it means that we had a need, and it was met by a gift to us. When we are truly grateful to God, it means that we are acknowledging that there is more to life than ourselves, and that there is something bigger out there than us and this physical life. And it means that you're looking at the positive side of life and situations when you're truly thankful. Do you realize, brethren, and think about the blessings in your life and even in this world in general that came from God and His loving kindness toward you? Do you meditate on these things, and does it carry over into your prayers to God? When you look at this beautiful nature that we have, and the stars, and all the wonder that we enjoy, even in this physical life, all the variety of food that we have, and the beauty that is there in this earth. It is because of God's loving kindness. He could have created us in such a way that our lives could have been miserable, and we could have existed, but without beauty, and without the variety that we enjoy. And this is only the beginning. Do you think about these things, brethren? And I ask myself as well. You know, it's easy to be negative and to be cynical. As we heard in the sermonette, there's someone that wants you to be negative and cynical and to look at the dark side and trying to influence you that way, to focus in on what may be wrong and to downplay what may be very right. But in Colossians 3, verse 15, and we won't turn there, Paul says, by inspiration from God, to be thankful, as he tells the Colossians. Ask God to help you to be and to remain truly thankful, for to be renewed in you. Ask God to help you to be thankful and express that thankfulness to God in your prayers on a continuing basis and to think about these things. Let's consider another element, the second element, which is humility. Very, very big and important subject, brethren, that we could give an entire sermon or more on it. But let's consider here in Isaiah chapter 55. And let's consider humility in our relationship with God. Isaiah chapter 55, we'll read verses 8 through 9. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 8. Very familiar scripture, but we need to keep reading this over and over again, don't we? For my thoughts, God inspired Isaiah to write, are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The first step toward true humility is acknowledging that there is something bigger and better than yourself, as we already saw, that there is something more important than you, and that it is God, that His ways are higher than your ways, and my ways, and all people. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, we won't turn there, but in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 31, Samuel writes that God's way is perfect. That His way is perfect. There is a purpose in everything that He does. Even in your life and in my life. Even when there are things that may not be that we would hope them to be. When we go through trials and difficulties and we have to suffer. And you think about what David went through, to be exiled and to be pursued, to be killed. For how many years did he go through that? How easy would it have been for him to become negative? But there was a purpose in it. And there is a purpose in what we go through. Because there's something bigger than us. And bigger than this life at work here, brethren. In Psalm chapter 147, let's turn there for a moment. Psalm chapter 147. It's way at the very end of Psalms. Psalm chapter 47. We'll read verses 1 through 5. It says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, and He binds up their wounds. God heals us when we're brokenhearted. He counts the number of the stars, and He calls them all by name. Brethren, it's estimated that there are 10 to the 23rd power stars. 10 followed by 23 zeros. Now we cannot grasp how big that number is. And how big the universe itself is. When you compare it to what we can relate to, everything breaks down very rapidly. It is so immense. But our God counts the number of those stars and calls them all by name. That mind is far beyond our comprehension. In verse 5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. It is infinite. We can't grasp God's understanding because His thoughts are not our thoughts and His ways are not our ways. We are limited right now. But God's understanding, brethren, is beyond our comprehension, as I've said. Do you think about these things, and does it humble you? Because it's easy, because of Satan's influence, to think God's not fair, God doesn't care, why is God allowing this to happen when there is a purpose and there is a mind there that is beyond our understanding? Do we consider that? And are we humble before our great God? In verse 6, the Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. God will lift you up if you are truly humble in your heart, because then He can work with you. And you don't think that you're more important than you are. And I'm speaking to myself as well. All of us must be more humble. In Matthew chapter 18, we won't turn there. In verse 3 and 4, there's a very familiar scripture, and Jesus Himself says that we are to humble ourselves as little children to enter the kingdom of God. There is to be no pretension or pride in us, but willingness to be led and willingness to change. We need to be humble so God can work with us and we can change and we can become true servants to God and to each other and to others and eventually to all mankind. We're here in Psalms. If you'll turn quickly over to Psalm chapter 73, this is a psalm of Asaph, it says. There's something here that's very interesting. This is Psalm chapter 73 and verse 21. Psalm chapter 73 and verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Brethren, can you see your own foolishness at times? Can you see it? And your own mistakes? And go to God in prayer and ask for His counsel and His humility and the strength to follow that counsel. Do you understand that you have been foolish in the past? All of us have. But can we see it? If you can see it, brethren, and you can humble yourself, your relationship with God will grow, and He will eventually receive you to glory, as we've already seen. In James 4, verse 10, we won't turn there, but there's a famous scripture that says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. When you're humble, you can change. And God can work with you. And you can see your own sin. Ask God for humility in your prayers to Him on a continuing basis. Acknowledge His perfect understanding and His grace toward you and His loving kindness. Remember that all that you are and have is due to Him. And ask Him to guide you as you humble yourself with His help. Let's consider a third aspect in our relationship with God that must be renewed and that is to surrender to God. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, this is Mr. Brockle's favorite scripture, Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It is a very profound scripture. This is Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, brethren, what does this mean? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word that is used here in the Greek is spelled D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. D-O-K-I-M-A-Z-O. Dokimazo. Dokimazo. And it means to try, examine, and test. And by implication, to like and to approve. So Paul is saying here that we are to try and experience what God wants us to do, what God wants us to think, and to see that His will is good and perfect as we live it, and to come to like and approve His will, that it is truly acceptable. I'm talking about His will for you personally. And what is God's will? We know that He desires that all human beings would repent and be saved from final death. And we know that God is executing His elegant multi-step plan of salvation, which will ultimately bring many sons to glory and give every human being the chance to live for all eternity in God's family. Now, these are big picture concepts that are very, very important. But what about God's will for you on a more personal and everyday basis? How does God want you to use your time? What is His will in certain personal situations that you are involved in, either directly or indirectly? How does God want you to handle those situations? What does God want you to learn from the trials and difficulties that you are going through? To clearly see God's will, we need to have a measure of humility, don't we? And then after we see God's will with His help, we need to do something else. We need to follow it. We need to follow it. We need to surrender our will to God's will. And that is perhaps the most difficult thing to do in our lives. To surrender your will to God's will. And we need God's help to do it. We need His help to do it. Let's look at some concepts involving surrender to God in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians, it should be close here to Romans. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. We'll read 19 through 20. Paul writes, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are not our own, brethren. We were bought with a price, the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our body and spirit are God's. Are you willing to offer it as a sacrifice to Him?" It's a powerful thing to understand this deeply in your heart and to act upon it, that you are not your own and that we belong to God. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks about this further. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. Paul writes, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Seek to understand the will of God in everything that you do and in everything that you allow into your mind. Ask God for help to do that, that you may understand what His will is in all situations. In Ephesians chapter 6, just page over in verse 5, Paul writes, "Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." To do the will of God from the heart as a true servant to God and to others. To yield your will to God's will. That takes time and effort. We must surrender to God. We must do it. In Matthew 26, verse 39, and we won't turn there, but remember when Jesus was in the garden before he was to be crucified, and in all of his life, and the purpose for why he was there had all come down to this point, and he's in the garden, and he's in agony, and he knows what's coming. He's not just going to be taken out and put to death quickly. He's going to be tortured and humiliated. And he was and is the Creator. All things were created by him. And these human beings that he created are now going to take him and torture him and kill him. And he cries out, "Oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus submitted his will to the will of the Father, even when it came to be so difficult that he was sweating blood. And he is our example. We are to live as he did. He is our example. He submitted to the will of the Father, even when it was extremely difficult to do it. Is this mind in you and in me? Do you ask God for this mind to be in you, to understand His will and to submit to it, even in personal, everyday situations? And do you do this on a continuing basis? In Hebrews chapter 13, let's turn there quickly to Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 20 through 21. The Apostle Paul brings out something that directly relates to this question of God living within us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." Brethren, if the Holy Spirit of God is within you, and it is, then God the Father and Jesus Christ are living within you by the Holy Spirit, working within you as you yield to that Spirit what is well-pleasing in their sight, to do their will, which is the right thing to do and will lead you ultimately to the right place. In 1 Peter chapter 4, we won't turn there, but 1 through 6, Peter writes, "Live the rest of your time in the flesh according to the will of God." To commit yourself, brethren, to live the rest of the time that you have in the flesh, which you don't know how long that is. None of us do. According to the will of God. Ask God to help you to see it and to surrender to it on a daily basis. Let's consider the last aspect, brethren, of our relationship with God that should be renewed on a continuing basis, and that is to seek God. To seek God. Again, a very broad subject, but let's consider this subject as it relates to our renewal on a continuing basis. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 9, if you'll turn there, please. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 9. With my soul, I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me, I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Isaiah writes, with my soul, I have desired you in the night, and I will seek you early. Do you seek God early? And I'm not just talking about in the morning time, which is a good time. Pray, to ask God to help you and to give him thanks. But do you seek God early, brethren, when things are calm? Or do you only seek him when trouble comes? Many are like this in the world. But do you have the mind in you to seek God continually because you sincerely and deeply desire him? In Psalm 42, there's a very beautiful scripture here in Psalm 42. In fact, there is a song in our hymnal based on this, and it is very beautiful and touching. It is one of the lessons that David learned in his trial. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? David thirsted for God. Do you? And I ask myself as well, do you thirst for God? Do you thirst to be closer to him? Do you ask him to help you to be closer to him? We're here in Psalms, in Psalm 84, verse 2. Psalm 84, verse 2. I believe this is not David, but he says in verse 2, my soul longs, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God, to desire God, to long for him. In chapter 37, in verse 4, chapter 37, in verse 4, this is a psalm of David. This is Psalm 37, verse 4. David writes, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Do you delight yourself in the Lord, brethren? Ask God to help you to do so. And he will give you the desires of your heart. But what are the desires of your heart? You could say, well, there are all these physical things that I want and you think you need, and maybe you do need some of them. But what should be the desires of your heart? Let's turn over to Luke chapter 9 and verse 13 and see what the desires of our heart should be that will have a lasting impact. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Again, there is a very beautiful analogy that Jesus Christ, our elder brother, gives to us here, involving our relationship with the Father. He says, "So I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Are you willing to knock, brethren? "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give what? All the desires of your heart? No. Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. The Holy Spirit, brethren, is far more precious than anything anyone could give to you in this physical life. You could have all the gold or be the king of everything, and it would not compare to how precious the Holy Spirit is within you, because by it you have a relationship with God, and by it you will have eternal life. And you can grow and develop and be closer to God. Again, God will give you more of His Spirit so that you can bear fruit in your life, such as love and joy and peace and patience. Now, there's one that I need more of. I admit it. And kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. The Holy Spirit is what enables this to happen within you, so you can fulfill God's will for you and all that entails for you now and in the future. And the Holy Spirit, brethren, will lead you closer to God. Ask God for more of His Spirit daily, that you may glorify Him with it, that you may fulfill your calling and your destiny, that you may please God and grow and develop as He prepares you and me and all of us for positions in His kingdom, so that we can serve others and that we can be with God for all eternity, and to be with Him face to face as a spirit being, to understand, God, what you're seeing in the universe and counting all of these stars, to inherit that very universe. Brethren, all these things around us, this physical life, pales to nothing compared to that. And it has no real meaning except as it relates to that, as we are prepared in this life for that. That is why we exist. That's why we have our being. And we live and move. It's so easy for you and me and all of us to get caught up in the physical and to lose sight of what is out there in our future that Satan, as we heard in the sermonette, wants to throw us off the track. But do we ask God, help me by your Spirit to not drift from you, but to draw closer to you, that I may honor you with your Spirit, that I may learn to truly serve others and to not be selfish and self-seeking. And I say this to myself, brethren, as well. Ask God for more of His Holy Spirit and to seek Him. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 15, Romans 8 is, I think, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. In Romans 8, chapter 15. "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And I'll end there. It keeps going. But brethren, the Holy Spirit within us will draw us closer to God. And it is by the Spirit, interacting with our spirit, that we feel that closeness to God and cry out, Abba, Father. It is by that Spirit that we know that this is the truth, that we're here on Saturday, and the rest of the world is out doing whatever they want, at least most of it, and that we're not keeping Sunday, and we're not keeping these other holy days, so-called, that our lives are different, and that we're not conformed to this world. It is because of God's Spirit within us. Are we willing to seek God and to ask Him daily for more of His Holy Spirit and to yield to that Spirit within us? Well, brethren, I hope that this sermon series has been inspiring to you. I hope you will think about what God's Word has shown us regarding these aspects of renewal, these aspects of renewal by prayer to our Creator and our Father, a Father who loves us and desires us to grow in our love for Him and for others. He wants us to grow spiritually, to bear the fruits of His Spirit within us, to be renewed continually by the working of the Spirit of God in our minds. God is preparing us for His kingdom, for the very family of God. He will lead us to repentance, to heal and cleanse our minds, to give us the strength we need to endure and to finish. He will keep our hope for salvation and the joy within us renewed. He is the author and finisher of our faith, and He will give us true peace, even in the face of great difficulty and trial. And these are all elements that we've seen in these last messages. He loves you and me with a love that we cannot fully comprehend now. Just like we can't fully comprehend the enormity of the physical universe and how many stars are out there. He desires that His will be fulfilled for you and for me. And His will, brethren, will ultimately bring us all to the kingdom of God. And it will bring many sons to glory, because God will ultimately share His glory with us. And He longs for all of us to fulfill our calling and to be with Him and to be with Jesus Christ, the angelic host, and the elders, and all the created spirit beings, as well as all of us that will repent and yield to His will, and to live for all eternity together. And I believe it will be the vast majority of mankind. And He will bring this about for you and for me if we truly seek Him and love Him with all of our heart. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, we won't turn there, but Paul admonishes the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. And I hope you will do so with renewed diligence, keeping these things in mind, brethren. And let's finish in one last scripture in Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. And I've been saving this scripture for this entire series. This is Titus chapter 3. And we'll read verse 3 through 7. Titus chapter 3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Stay connected to God by prayer and yield to His Spirit within you, brethren, and be renewed day by day.